We speak the name of Jesus. And we do that individually, but perhaps more powerfully and significantly, we do it communally and collectively. And that's why the Lord says, keep the Sabbath holy. Do not work upon the Sabbath day, but gather together in solidarity, in unity, in one accord, in one baptism, one Holy Spirit, in one faith, and speak the name of Jesus. So let's do that together with everyone. Children, before we send you to the kids' house, we are going to speak the name of Jesus. And one of the best ways of doing that is by going to His own Word, the Holy Scripture. And the Hum family volunteered already. So come on up, children. Come on right up. Come on right up. Come on right up. You multiplied. Like instantaneously. Okay. What's your name?
Mariko.
Mariko, how old are you?
Five.
What's your name?
Ayumi.
Ayumi. How old are you?
Ayumi.
Ayumi.
How old are you? How old are you? How old are you?
Four.
Five and four? What's your name?
Briar.
How old are you?
Eight.
What's your name? Dwayne. His name's Dwayne. How old are you, Dwayne? Dwayne's two. Okay, now, Mariko, do you read? You don't. So how did you memorize the Bible verse? Did mommy and daddy help you? Yeah? All right. So let's do it together.
We did ESV.
Let's have the blank up on the screen so you can you do this via
ESV.
ESV translation, English Standard Version. Okay, so who's gonna take the mic?
Let's say it.
Let's say the chapter and the verse first. Go ahead. Where is it from?
Well, means five, verse 8. Yep. God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we're so sinners, Christ died for us.
Very good, very good. Okay, everyone, let's do this together. And those of you on live stream as well, stick around. Starting with the reference, the verse, and ending with the reference. Romans 5, verse 8. God demonstrates His own love in this. I'm sorry, I messed it up. God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5, verse 8. Thank you, Hum family. Thank you, Hum. Thank you, Hum. Now, children, before you go, hey, I just want you to know, everyone here, listen, today, these are the names of people who are serving in the children's ministry, the kids' house, little house, and the baby house. Aviana, Desiree, Elaine, Sarah, Ethan, Melissa, and Hikari. Let's thank them for raising the sons and daughters of the congregation. Thank you. Thank you. A middle-aged woman suffered a massive, massive heart attack. She was rushed into the hospital, and she is undergoing an open-heart surgery. She had a near-death experience while lying on that operating table. She saw the Lord, and then she asked, God, is it my time now? And God said, no. You have 40 years, 6 months, and 8 more days to go. She felt relieved. Coming out of the surgery room,
She said, I'm going to get a facelift. Liposuction. And some plants in various parts of the body. She even had someone come in and colored her hair sandy blonde. And after the very last plastic surgery, she was leaving the hospital. She was crossing the street, wanting to get to her home, and all of a sudden, a bus ran her over, and she was killed instantaneously. Facing the Lord, she demanded, "You said 40 years, 6 months, and 8 more days. Why didn't you stop the bus?" And the Lord replied, "I didn't recognize you." I want to talk to you about death, and hence the opening remarks. You know, in my previous church back in Michigan, I was averaging one funeral service a month. That's 12 a year. And I was there for about 10 years. That's 120 funeral services. At every funeral service, I always ask the same question under my breath. "Victor, are you ready? Victor, this is hard." At every funeral, I witnessed the loved ones, the surviving families, shedding tears at the loss of their loved one. What do you think is the most destructive power in our world? You know, you've no doubt, you've heard about the wildfires in Los Angeles. The power of destruction. Immense, great. Thousands of lives affected. That's powerful, wouldn't you say? What about this talk about between Hamas and Israel? How many people have been killed in this 13 months old war? Thousands and thousands. The power of war, destructive. You know what's even more destructive than the calamities of the Mother Nature and the destruction of war? It's the power of death. I would like you to turn to the person next to you. Look at her, look at him in the eye. Now, please, please. Remember these words. Either you will die before them, or they will die before you. Let me make it even more painful. Every person that you love in your life right now, your spouse, your children, your parents, everyone will face death. They will die right before your own eyes. Or, if not, then you will die before their own eyes. The power of death, it's undeniable. It happens to every one of you. Every one of you. We don't want to talk about this. No, we don't. It's so depressing. It's so life-sucking. And yet, it will happen to you. It will happen to me. Either you die before your loved ones, and they die before you. And there's not a thing you can do about that. The power of death. By the grace of our Lord, our God, and His name is Jesus, I pray that you will experience something even greater and powerful than death itself. We've been journeying through the book of Romans. It's called A Journey Through Romans, and we are in the chapters 5 to 8, and we're calling that section of the Bible book, that book, Restored and Renewed. And we get to chapter 5, the second half of the chapter 5, following last week's message, 1 through 11 verses. I invite you to utilize the sermon outline. It will help you to follow along and retain and appreciate the logic and the layout of the message. And at the end of the message, you get to submit your questions, and I appreciate receiving them. You know, it's so humbling on one hand, which is I receive the questions and I realize, wow, Victor, you are not a clear preacher. You are nebulous. It's humbling at the same time. At the same time, it's so edifying to me because you are engaging in the word with me. So let's go. Come with me. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Therefore. And what do you do when you come across the word therefore? You got to know what it's there for. I will unpack that. Just as sin entered the world through one man, death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. Please observe the logic in this chronology. Sin entered the world through how many men? One man. And because of sin entered the world, what followed? Death through sin. And because of that, what happened? In this way, death came to all people. Because all sinned. To be sure, this is the Apostle Paul seeing what's going through your mind as you read these words, as you hear these words. He is anticipating, well, so to be sure, Mosaic House Church, sin was in the world before the law was given. Now, when the Bible says the law, the Bible is not talking about, Paul is not talking about civil law or city bylaws. He's talking about when the Bible says the law, it's referring to the commandments of God. Broadly speaking, there are over 600 commandments of God in the Bible. Narrowly speaking, the law refers to the Ten Commandments. You follow? So when you hear the phrase or the word, the law was given, just think the Ten Commandments. Narrowly speaking. Nevertheless, let me read verse 13 again. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law, the commandments were given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there was no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. You know that word reign? It means to rule. The actual Greek word is to be king over. Death reigned, death ruled, death was king over every person. From the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam. Who is a, please read this with me, this is a key phrase, a pattern of the one to come. Let's read it together. A pattern of the one to come. Okay, that's Adam, and Adam is pointing to someone else. Verse 15. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died, interesting, he inserts the definite article, the. It sounds strange and awkward, doesn't it? For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more? How much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned, ruled, kinged, I just made a noun into a verb, through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign, rule, be kinged in life through what the one man, Jesus Christ. Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased more. Let's read that, because that is our memory verse. Okay? The memory verse is starting with where sin increased. Okay, ready? Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. One more time. Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the Lord of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. Father in heaven, our King, our Lord, our God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, be pleasing in thy sight, O Lord my God. And I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, by the name of Jesus your Son, reveal the power of his grace in this message. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. The theme is very clear and succinct. Would you please write these words? The power of sin is great, but the power of grace is even greater. I need you to be impressed upon how powerful sin is in our life. Sin is great. The power of sin is immense, scary. But, the power of grace of Jesus Christ is even greater and more powerful, more immense, and more beautiful. So let's take one thing at a time. Why is the power of sin great? Well, first point, sin and death came through the one man, and that one man is Adam. Sin and death came through the one man. Look at here, verse 12. Let's slow this down. Just as sin entered the world through one man. Now, are we going to talk about therefore? How come nobody objected? You missed the word therefore. Can we talk about what the word is therefore? So if you're drinking coffee at home, you come to chapter 5, verse 12, you hear the word therefore, you read the word therefore, you put your cup down, you put your pen down, and you go backwards. And you discover again, be reminded one more time, what did the Apostle Paul say in verses 1 through 11? And this is what he said. We were enemies of God, but while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. And this is how you know that God demonstrates his love for you in this. While we were helpless, powerless, Christ died. And when he died, he brought justification. And through the work of justification, he made peace. We are reconciled with God. Amazing, amazing, amazing news. And you should be asking, as the people in the church in Rome back then asked, How is it possible that through one man, Jesus Christ, we can receive all these benefits? So Paul's answering that question. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man. And who is that one man? What's his name? And because of that sin through that one particular man, the man, what happened? Death came into the world through sin. Are we tracking? Now, here's where it gets kind of, huh? Listen, in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. That makes sense to you? I read this previously, reread it, and I kept going, huh? I get it. Adam sinned, and therefore sin entered the world, and therefore death came, and he died. But then how is it that we all die because we all sinned? Here's what I found out. And this was so profound. What's the sin that Adam committed? The sin in the Garden of Eden. We call that the original sin. The original sin, not in the sense, oh, that's unique. No, original in the sin, in the sense that because of that first sin, all sins ensued. All sins followed because of that one sin. It's like this. Is breaking the 10th commandment bad? The answer is yes. But you know why we break the 10th commandment? Because we break the sin, the first one. We commit the sin. And what is the sin? Why is the 8th commandment bad? And that's because we break the ultimate commandment, which is the first commandment. What's the first commandment? You shall have no other God. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before you. Not in any shape or form. And God is not talking about little tiny figurines. He's talking about the idea of God. So what is the first sin? The first sin, the sin that gave birth to all the rest of the sins in our lives, is this. Genesis chapter 2. Let's see this. The Lord speaking to Adam and Eve. He provided everything for Adam and Eve. You may eat any tree, any fruit in the garden. You may eat anything that you desire. But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Now, why that commandment? Why? You know, when I first read this, I was a young boy. I said, God doesn't want to share. I was taught sharing is a good thing. God doesn't want to share. He doesn't want Adam and Eve eat from the tree of knowing good and evil. But that's not the reason. Because what's the reason God says do not eat from it? Because when you eat of it, you will certainly die. Lord, does the fruit contain poison? Are they going to die because of eating the fruit or because of the consequence of eating the fruit? May I suggest this? You shall have no other gods. What is one thing that only God can do for you? I've been thinking about this, and here's my response. Only God can give you your identity. Who you are, what you are worth. Only God can do that. God says, you are made in my image. I am your creator, and you have worth and you have value, not because of what you do, not because of your performance, but because of the fact that I, the creator, made you. That's identity. What else can God do? God, therefore, dictates for me Here is how your life can thrive and flourish. Don't go there. Stay here with me. When you stay with me, your life will thrive because I am life. I am the giver of life. I am life itself. Life comes from me. And apart from me, there is no life. Do you follow? So here is God saying to you and to Adam and to me, see, I am the Lord your God. I define who you are. You gain your identity from me. And I tell you what's right and wrong. I tell you what's good and bad. And I tell you, this is life. You stay with me. You live with me. You will experience the flourishing and the thriving of life. Apart from me, there is death. And what did Adam do? He rejected all that. We learned this last week. He said, I don't want you to be my God. I want to be my own God. And he said, I want to be my own God in that I define who I am. I belong to no one. I am my own. I have worth because I say I have worth. I have worth because I'm going to find worth in me, in what I do and what I am. And I want to be my own God in that I'm going to dictate what's right and wrong, what's good and bad, and how my life is supposed to be. No one tells me how to live my life. My friends, may I submit to you, that's being God. May I submit to you, that's dethroning God from the throne and placing yourself in the place of God. That is the sin. And because of that, when they left God, guess what happened? Death came. You follow? It's not like God saying, I dare you. Don't. I told you not to cross the line, and you cross the line. Boom, death comes. No, that's not it. It's more like Adam and Eve leaving God, rejecting God, and therefore they're leaving life itself, the flourishing itself, and the consequence is death. Life is in God. You leave God, you leave life. But still, how is it that Adam sinned and therefore death came by and therefore we all die because we all sinned? The doctrine of original sin is a very hard one. So let me set it up. Were you there in the Garden of Eden? No, you weren't. But Adam sinned, and because of that, that affected us. We are born sinners. That makes sense? I wasn't there. I'm not responsible for what he did. Then why am I facing the consequence of one man? That is the argument. There are three schools of thought in this. Okay, it doesn't matter whether you are Chinese or African or European. The idea falls in one of the three camps. Okay, first, when you were born, you were good, but as you grow, as you live in this world, the environment makes you bad and evil. That's one thought. So it's anthropology. When you're born, you're good, but life makes you bad. Got it? Second, when you're born, you're neutral. You are neither good or bad. And the environment can make you good or bad. So when you're born, it's a clean slate. What happens now is what life does to you. You follow? Third, when you're born, you're bad. And the environment cannot make you good. Kobe, would you put that table talk slide? Here's the question. I would like you to turn to your neighbor. If you are sitting with two people and you recognize there's one person sitting alone, invite them. No more than three, okay, per group. Here's the question. Are you a sinner because you sin, or do you sin? Do you sin because you are a sinner? Think about that. Are you a sinner because you sin? Or do you sin because you are a sinner? Engage. Okay, let's resume, everyone. What did your neighbor say? What did they say? They said yes. Well, I'm glad Kevin's got the brains. Can you say more? Kevin, I hope you said more than just one word yes. What did you say? If we are born sinners, then probably it's the latter, okay? Any other different responses?
Because I believe that
sin
is not because I was born in the image of Christ, so that I am holy, I am God's child, because I have knowledge of sin, good and evil.
Technically, thank you all. Technically, Hannah's right. Yes, they are both true. I mean, Kevin's right. Okay, they're both true. I am a sinner, am I not? Because I sin. That is to say, my behavior, the sinful behavior, tells you that I'm a sinner. My identity. Got it? Okay. And isn't it also true? I sin, I behave in sinful acts because of my nature. I am a sinner at the core. Well, here's what the Bible says. Psalm 51. Surely at birth, I was sinful. Sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Okay, let me just give you a minute to chew on this thick theology. This is King David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writing these words. Surely, I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. So therefore, if we want to be technical, and we want to be technical today, I sin because I'm a sinner. It's my nature describing the nurture. The nurture does not define my nature. It's the other way around. I was born in my mother's womb sinful. My nature is sinful, and that's why I commit sinful behaviors. Now, I can prove it to you through life experience. When our first child, Johanna, was born, her mother and her dad made sure that she would not become contaminated by the sinfulness of the world. So her mother and father did their very best to raise her right. One day, when she was 15 months old, she was caught lying. 15 months old. Back then, we didn't watch television. We didn't have neighbors coming in and influencing, shaping our daughter's ideologies and values. No, 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 no. Her mother and I made sure that we keep her safe from the corruption of the world. My daughter never witnessed anyone lying. She never experienced anyone lying to her. And yet, there she was, an expert in deception at 15 months. I was disappointed, but not surprised. You know why? Because that child was sinful at birth. No, she was sinful at the time of conception. No, she was sinful on the Garden of Eden. So let me get there. Okay, this is, hang with me here. Hang with me. I have to be technical. In the English grammar, we have the past tense, present tense, and the future tense, right? Victor sinned yesterday. Victor is sinning today. And Victor will sin tomorrow. Three tenses. The Greek word that was used when it said, we all died because we all sinned. You know that verb, sinned? It's the aorist tense. You go, what? We don't have that tense in English, but in Greek, we do. Here's what it means. The aorist always points to a single past action. The whole race sinned in one single action. The whole race, the entire humanity, sinned in one action. What Paul is saying is this. All sinned, we all sin continually and individually, which is true. But that's not what he's saying here. What he's saying is sin and death enter into the world because all men, we are all guilty of one act of sin. Every one of us. Paul is not saying that we all die because we are like Adam, like we sin like him, which is also true. But what he's saying is this. We all die because we sinned in Adam and we died in Adam. Are you confused? Okay. Let me try this. Okay. How can one person's action result in my responsibility? I wasn't there. And the Bible says, well, Victor, you sinned in Adam. Victor, you died when Adam died, when death entered, because you sinned. But I wasn't there. No, you sinned in Adam. What the theologians call is federal headship. Adam is a representative of the entire humanity. In fact, the word Adam means humanity. That's what it means. The word Adam means the first man. It's like, Adam, can you come out and play? Hey, humanity, can you come and play football with me? He's a representative for the entire, he represents you, you and me. That's the federal headship. It's kind of like this. The Prime Minister of Canada is, the Prime Minister of Canada is our representative. He represents all of us. Whether we like it or not. You might say, I didn't vote for him. It doesn't matter. He represents us, and one representative represents the whole group. And what happens to one representative happens to the whole group. So, case in point. Should the Prime Minister declare war against the USA? We all are at war against the USA. It's kind of like that. And you're still going, yeah, but why am I responsible for what Adam did? And the Bible says, he represents you. He's your representative. Okay. Now, let me come out clean. I don't fully get it. I don't. It's really hard for me to grasp. And yet, that's what the Lord is saying to me. Adam represented you. And what he did when he sinned, you sinned in him. And when he died, you died in him. And that's how death enters the world. Let me just make one comment. I got to move on. For those of you saying, objection, this representation, one representative affecting me, and I'm not him, and I'm not them, and what they did affects me. I'm going to move on to the second point, therefore, which is this. Then how do you reconcile this truth? When Christ died, when he gained righteousness, and he gave it to you, and you received that, and therefore now God declares you righteous. Huh. One representative, what he did, you receive the benefit of that. It's the same idea. So I know you may not be fully satisfied, but we got to move on. All I want to say is this. The power of sin and death is to be reckoned with. But who will help us with this? The second point. Therefore, grace and life came through the one man, Jesus Christ. The power of sin is great, but the power of grace is even greater. Grace and life came through the one man, Jesus Christ. Verse 15. But the gift, grace, is not like the trespass or sin. Paul interchanged that word. He was talking about sin, and boom, all of a sudden he used the word trespass. And what's the difference? Trespass, think of it like this. It's a sin, but it's a conscious, volitional, deliberate sin, which means it is a worse kind of sin. You consciously, deliberately, volitionally, premeditatively commit sin, knowing fully well it is bad. Okay? But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the man, one man, Adam, how much more? Did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the man, one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Christ and Adam, they're kind of like, similar, in that they are both representatives of humanity. But they are different in that the power of grace, what Christ did, one man, that one man did, is even greater. His grace overflows to the many. Verse 16. Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. What Christ has done is more powerful than what Adam had done. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, and that's why we die today. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. Justification and righteousness. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned, and what's the meaning of the word reign? It means to rule, to be king. Through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign, rule, be kinged in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Friends, what is justification again? Justification. though I am a sinner, though I am guilty, though I deserve condemnation, Christ justifies me. I am made justified by the works of Jesus Christ. Christ, with his sacrifice and with his resurrection, what his perfect credit he gives to me. And therefore, even though I am guilty, the righteous judge declares me righteous. Not that I am righteous. He declares me righteous because I am being justified by the works of Christ. That's what it means to be justified. It's 100% sheer grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am not worthy of it. I don't deserve it. But oh my goodness, it is the most beautiful thing. And it's the most powerful thing in this life. The power of grace. One thing that happened to me, or is happening to me rather, as I'm studying, preparing for the book of Romans, is this. The absolute sovereign, all-sufficient power of Jesus Christ. I add nothing to what he offers. I offer nothing, not even 1%. It is 100% sheer gift of Jesus Christ. And I am so overwhelmed by his sovereign power. I'm so overwhelmed by his goodness, and I'm so overwhelmed by his acts of grace. Would you turn to your neighbor and ask these questions? Having recognized the great power of grace, how should you respond to Christ? How does this truth shape your feelings toward Jesus? Let's resume. Join me, please. Okay, number three. I'm just going to give you the words, and I'm going to move on to number four. Therefore, submit yourself to the sovereign power of grace. Okay, I don't have time to expound on that. Number four, let's land the plane with the application. Number four, therefore, how will you grow deep and wide in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Now, all this is happening. Look, the power of sin is great, but the power of grace is even greater. Right? One response to this truth and to this grace is that we grow deep and wide in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I am so convicted that the Lord wants all of us, as the body of Christ in Mosaic House Church, to grow deep and wide in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let me offer three choices, three options. Because many of you have begun the new year and said, I'm going to read the Bible for half an hour every day, and I'm going to finish the entire New Testament by February, and I'm going to, and then you gave up already. How about this? A bite size. A, immerse yourself in Romans. Immerse yourself in Romans. If there's one book that I would like you to master of the entire, all the books of the Bible, it'll be Romans. So immerse yourself in Romans. How about this? How about this? Okay. Let's journey together. For the next 6 days, you read this passage. Chapter 5, verse 12 to 21. Just read it once a day. That's all. Immerse yourself. B, test drive a house church. And that's because I find this all the time. On Wednesday at our house church, we wrestle with it together. And we gain so much wisdom and insight from one another. Test drive a house church. C, your own suggestion. But keep it bite-sized. Don't aim for the moon. Make it small. Okay. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, my God, I kneel before your sovereign grace. The more I delve into your holy word, the more overwhelmed I am. By the power of your grace, you conquer sin, you conquer death, and you offer me, you credit me with your holy righteousness, though I am undeserving, though I deserve condemnation and death itself, you have restored me and renewed me. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And friends, would you out loud, everyone here, everyone, as an act of faith to the response to the grace that we just received, would you say this prayer with me? Just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your grace.
Lord Jesus, I thank you for your grace.
The power of your grace overwhelms me. It is greater than the power of my sin and death. I submit myself to you as my God and as my Lord. Thank you, Father. We pray now that you will, by your Holy Spirit, shape us into his likeness, because Christ is risen from the dead, trampling over death by death, by his own death. Come awake, therefore. Come and rise up from the grave. O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? O church, come stand in the light. Our God is not dead. He's alive.